I'm Otto Feather. I'm the Director of Emergency Services here in the Mat-Su Borough, and I'm the Incident Commander for this operation. I would like to ask you to all hold your questions until we get to the end. We have a lot of people that need to talk, and we have a meeting that we're going to be doing here right at 6 o'clock, so we got to get in, get out. But we will stay around, and we'll have our PIO, Aaron Leaders, and others that are going to be out here in the lobby. If you'll allow us to answer questions out there, we'd appreciate it. So we're going to move right along. You know, this earthquake, it obviously surprised everybody. I know that nobody expects something like this. It's pretty big. It's a pretty big deal. Fortunately, we run a 24/7 EOC, an area-wide EOC that we have up and running because we have 8 borough fire service areas, 2 city fire service areas, and the whole of the borough for rescue and EMS operations. So we made sure that we make sure that every day we're ready to go. Fortunately, this had occurred at a time when we were able to capitalize on a shift change. So when we would normally have 4 ambulances running here in the local area, we were able to have 11 ambulances. So we had our on-call responders and volunteers come in, and a number of our folks stay over from shift change. So we had a good, we had all hands on deck. Worked out very well, and it was pretty important because we had 11 calls in that first hour for ambulances, and we were able to cover down on all of that. We immediately stood up our incident command center, which is nothing more than we're having a more robust EOC, or emergency operations center. We had that up within the half hour and started making contact with all of our liaisons throughout the borough and throughout the state. We contacted cities immediately, worked hand in glove on any of the issues that the city of Palmer, Wasilla, or Houston had. School was on it right away, got their program energized to be able to get kids moving and out of the schools and back home. MEA, NSTAR, we could not have done this without them. And then the unsung heroes, actually AT&T with our call centers and making sure that we were able to have good communications. All of that went very well. We even had the railroad. They immediately came in that morning and talked to us about their situation. We're very happy to know there weren't any rail cars or worse yet, any passenger cars that were out there that were stuck in the middle of nowhere. That would have raised our concerns, obviously, significantly with having to be able to go out there and rescue them and get them out of the off the tracks out in the woods. Red Cross, right away. We have a great relationship with the Red Cross. Law enforcement, whether it's AST, PPD, or it's our friends over in Wasilla, can't say enough about them. They had an incredible number of calls, a lot of call volume for our law enforcement, and they did a fantastic job. And of course, we were plugged in with our state EOC, Emergency Operations Center, right away. So we were out of the gate quick. We do this every day. And so that went off without a hitch. As I said, the school district, our biggest concerns is all those kids, those young people that are out there in those schools, significant amount of concern about making sure that they were doing well and that they were safe. And we've got a great team over at the school district who reassured us that they had that plan rolling. Mayor Cottle offered up very early on the Menard Center, which we used as a shelter. It served us very well. We didn't have a lot of people in need of shelter, thankfully, but we had that port in the storm, if you will, that allowed us to cover down on those people who did have issues with shelter. Red Cross, obviously, anytime we do sheltering, plays a big role in that and makes sure that we're feeding people and we're making sure that they've got cots and whatever they need to be able to survive a shelter situation. In the first hour, our dispatcher team over at MATCOM in Wasilla, and I know the dispatch team over here at 9G base in Palmer took an incredible number of calls. You can't know what it's like unless you've listened to the radio, the amount of mayhem that they have going on, and our dispatchers are incredible. They make air traffic controllers look like amateurs. They have people that are having some of their worst days of their life that are calling in, and they're able to take that information, turn it into something that's actionable, and get it out to the responders who are going to go out and help people. So can't thank them enough. Emergency services responded in that first hour to 11 EMS calls, as I said. We had 16 calls for gas leaks. Worked very closely with NSTAR. Got our fire service on scene immediately to be able to shut down those leaks. And then we had three fires in that first hour. So we were busy. And I can't say enough about our on-call responders, our volunteers, and the team that we have, that we collaborate with every day, law enforcement, dispatch, and our borough responders, as well as the city of Palmer and the city of Houston. Just a first-class job all the way from those folks. I know it'll come up, and there'll be a question about the fires. Two of the fires, we believe, were associated with the earthquake caused by a space heater that tipped over. We also had another one where something fell off and somehow turned a burner on and started a fire. The last one, it's still undetermined what it was that was the cause, and we're not thinking that it was really associated with the earthquake. So very busy in the first hours, lots of good communication going on in terms of our inter-operations with all of our partners and within the government and with the utilities and our support system. But by noon on Friday, we had pretty much gotten back to a normal emergency response tempo that we see every day. As fast as it came, it started to die off just as quick. So those initial issues that we had to resolve, we took care of very quickly, working with all of our partners. We were able to turn our attention to the bigger concerns of infrastructure, and I'm going to have some folks come up here and talk about infrastructure in a few minutes in terms of roads. But we quickly realized that though we had widespread concerns about roads, the damage was limited. Not a lot of significant issues other than Vine Road. You've all seen the picture that's out there. That's a pretty dramatic picture, and we were able to get out there today with Senator Sullivan and Senator Murkowski. And also new Commissioner McInnes was able to go out there and take a look at it with our mayors. Very difficult challenge that we've got down there on Vine Road, but fortunately we're blessed to have had the opportunity to use all of the roads, the feeder roads that are right there adjacent to it, so it's a very short detour, and our public works folks were on that right away. As well as our state roads where we had concerns, the state jumped on that immediately. I live out in Meadow Lakes area, and I know that the Pittman Road, we never lost the ability to go down through there, and the state was on it immediately, fixing that road, tearing up asphalt, and rolling it out. So all of that was a great success. We from noon on, we spent a lot of time waiting for the other shoe to drop. It didn't, thankfully. But we took that time to make sure that we continue to do assessments, have our assessment program in place, working with the school. I know that they were very busy looking at their facilities, roads, infrastructure, whether it's MEA or the folks over at NSTAR. Initial reports were actually very good from the utility perspective. Obviously, there was a lot of people waiting for a long time to get power back, but they had a game plan. It was a matter of getting to it, but there was nothing so devastating that they weren't going to get us power back that day. So good news and good on them for their response. I do have to do a bit of a mea culpa here. At noon on that day, as we're waiting for the next worst possible thing that could happen, starting to hear an awful lot of good news, I think that we fell into the trap of having a sense of relief that it wasn't going to be worse than it was. And so consequently, as we were going about the paperwork for disaster declarations and all that goes into the dotting I's and crossing T's to make sure that we're going to be able to help out our citizens subsequent to a disaster like this, I fell into a trap of believing that life was good. And in fact, life is good here in the Valley. It's good here. And we had an awful lot of people that are covered down in doing good things. What I failed to recognize is that I had the information that things were good, and we did not communicate appropriately to the rest of the community. And I think that we failed in terms of our ability to make sure we were getting out timely, actionable information so that folks could feel comfortable with what was going on. Rest assured that we have a lot of interest in this. We're working this hard, and we're going to dot some I's and cross the T's on our policies and programs and make sure that this can never happen again. But I take full responsibility for that misstep, and it won't happen again. I have a lot of material that we have to cover, so I'm going to ask for Casey Cook to come up. Casey Cook is my emergency manager, and he has all the information on outreach issues. There's a lot of questions about who's paying for what, can I get relief, you know, what are the options for us. He's going to give you the wave tops, but you'll be able to go to our websites and to our Facebook page to be able to get additional information on that, Casey.
Thanks, Otto. So like Otto said, we'll be doing leading the disaster assessment portion of this and the individual and public assistance for the infrastructure, which is going to touch Director Dolan's area. For the individual homeowners and individual business owners that were affected, we have sites up on our Mat-Su Borough webpage, our Mat-Su emergency page, to be able to click on that link to enter your damaged home into that system and start the process. If you don't have internet access or can't access those links, call my number, 907-861-8004, and I will put you into that system myself. The State of Alaska Individual Assistance Program, which helps people whose homes were affected or they experienced damages to those, their online application period starts tomorrow. Their call-in application process also starts tomorrow. And we have a handout in the back that has that information. If you have any questions about that, go to ready.alaska.gov to be able to do that, to get the state individual assistance process working as well. We work in conjunction with them so that anything you enter into our system automatically feeds over to them, and then we'll cross-reference back and forth to make sure that those homeowners and business owners are getting the assistance they need. That includes for folks whose homes are no longer livable to be able to do temporary housing and temporary care to replace things that they might have lost during the disaster. So that's where we're at. Again, if you can't access the internet and access those links, 907-861-8004, leave your name and your address and I'll get you into the system.
I know there's been a lot of challenges with people with water and wells, and so we have a representative from the State Department of Environmental Conservation with us. I'd like to invite Amy Hill to come up and offer a few words of advice.
Good evening. As Otto said, I'm with the DEC Drinking Water Program. I am the program coordinator for the Wasilla office. I've actually not been back to my office since the quake happened on Friday, so most of the coordination for our information has been coming out from our Fairbanks office. As far as I'm aware, we have not issued any boil water notices for the city of Palmer and the city of Wasilla. I am aware that some of our smaller subdivisions that are considered community water systems have been issued boil water notices because they either lost pressure in the distribution system or they have water main breaks. But I'll know more about that tomorrow. One thing I did want to talk about, though, is what people can do as far as private wells if they are concerned about their water. I know I was concerned. I actually had an issue with my well at my home. On Saturday afternoon, the water turned black, and so I was fairly concerned because it's never done that before. I was able to just hook up a hose, run the water outside, let it flush the system for about an hour, and it went clear again. And that's what I would suggest to people if they have discoloration in their water, it's cloudy. It should settle out in a couple of days or a couple of hours. And if it doesn't, that would be a good time to either call a well contractor, a professional engineer, or a hydrologist to come out and take a look at it. People can also inspect their own wells, look for cracking of the casings, look for heaving of the wells, that sort of thing. But if it doesn't clear up in a couple of days, definitely get a professional out there to take a look at it. One of the things I'll be doing tomorrow with my water is I picked up a total coliform bacteria water sample bottle from one of our labs out here in the valley. I'll be sampling my water and taking it in to have it tested. And if it comes back clear, then it'll be safe for me to drink my water again. In the meantime, though, I'm using bottled water because I know it's safe. I would also say, one of the things that they also asked me to talk about, which isn't my area of expertise, but we do have our wastewater program works out of our office. And so if anybody has questions about their an on-site septic system, they should be looking for sluggish drains in their sinks, showers, any sewer odors coming from their sinks and drains. If they notice any backing up water in their downstairs tubs, those sorts of things, or if they go outside and see any soft spots, wet spots, heaving, anything around their septics, they really should call either call a professional engineer or a certified installer to have them come and check it out. So those are the things that we can help you with too. Like I said, I haven't been back to my office since we evacuated on Friday, but if anybody has questions about their water out here in the valley, they can give me a call at 376-1861. That is my direct number, and as far as I'm aware, I will be back in the office tomorrow.
Thank you, Amy. I'm going to invite Terry Dilden up. He's our director of O&M for the borough. Public Works for most of you that can relate to that title. He is our roads guy, very important to all of us. So Terry, if you want to spend a few minutes talking about our infrastructure.
Sure. Thank you, Otto. I prepared some slides. They're available in the back if you'd like them. You can see them on the screen here. And also, Patty Sullivan is going to post them on the borough website if you'd like a copy of them. So this was a quick summary of our status. I think the key thing here is all roads in the borough are passable. And there are some places like on Vine Road where the road has a segment that's been destroyed, but there are detours in place. So there's no reason that residents can't make it to their properties. Everybody should have road access in the same way that they had it before. There are some places where we're down to a single lane, but all of them remain passable. The worst damage that we saw during this event was in places near the epicenter, out in the Point McKenzie area. The epicenter of the earthquake was actually in Point McKenzie. And so Point McKenzie Road took a lot of damage, especially in places where it was built over the top of marshy areas. And that is consistent with damage that we've seen in other locations, significant damage in Big Lake as well, especially in areas where the road was built over the top of a marsh. Also, the worst road, Vine, and I'll get into some detail on these roads, also was built over a marsh where it failed. So here's a picture of Vine Road. I think most folks have seen this online. One segment of the roadway was completely destroyed. We have mobilized heavy equipment out there at this point, and we'll start performing hazard mitigation and installing a temporary roadway tomorrow. That should be finished this week, and we should have Vine back open. In the meantime, there is a detour in place. Point McKenzie Road was number 2 on the hit list, as I mentioned. This is mile 15.5. Severe longitudinal cracking, as deep as 8 feet. We do have one lane open still, and repairs will go in on that site tomorrow. Yesterday, we repaired 7 separate damaged areas in the first 6 miles of Point McKenzie Road. So we're making good progress there. This is West Susitna Parkway up in Big Lake, right near the Burma intersection. And this is just one picture of one spot on that road. There's as many as 50 cracks like this right in one area. So a lot of damage right there. It's probably the 3rd worst damage that we've seen in the borough. Again, all the hazards are marked, and this is passable. Folks can still get in and out of there to their homes safely. We did get a lot of snow out in that area as well, and that's going to hamper our repairs here. But as soon as the weather conditions support making additional repairs, we'll start that as well. So throughout the borough, I would say we had minor damage to numerous roadways. This is just a list of the ones that we're aware of. Very difficult for us to assess minor damage, when there's snow on the ground. So this assessment really probably will not end until next spring when we can actually see the entire roadway. The common things we're seeing are this shoulder sloughing, the loss of the guardrail if it's on a shoulder that sloughs. We're seeing a lot of pavement cracking and a lot of minor subsidence of the roadways. And this is a picture off of Orion, our damage assessment software. We use it to feed the information to Department of Homeland Security and to FEMA. And it just shows you that across the core area of the borough, there's damage out there. The two red icons on there for roadways are Vine and Point McKenzie Road. But you can see the damage was all the way to the north of Wasilla and to the north of Palmer as well. The damage becomes much less as you get past Big Lake to the north. And we'll save questions to the end, and I will remain available for that.
We also have a representative from the state DOT. If I could go ahead and have Todd Smith come up and talk about a few of the projects as he's working on here in the Valley.
Good evening. During an event like this, interagency coordination is critical, and the department appreciates and thanks the borough for the opportunity to use this briefing to update a couple of the sites that the department's working on in the Mat-Su borough. We have six sites that I'm managing north of Eklutna. I'll go through those quickly. We have a site at the Glen Highway, milepost 29.3. That's adjacent to the Old Glen Overpass. We have two repair areas that we're working on in the Glen Parks interchange. Further up the Glen Highway at milepost 55 near Moose Creek, we have a repair site. We have a repair site at milepost 58.5 of the Glen Highway as well. So those are four sites we're working on the Glen Highway in the Mat-Su borough. In addition to those, we have a repair site on Clark Wolverine Road at milepost 5.5, which is the Creek Canyon area. And we're also, as previously mentioned, working on Pittman Road at milepost 0.7. The department on Friday started their assessments of our infrastructure in the borough. These six sites were immediately identified as needing action for safety concerns and having the most impact to our infrastructure. We've got contractors actively working these six sites. We are still throughout the borough daily assessing other damage to our infrastructure. Same as Mr. Dolan mentioned, our sites are opened to the traveling public. You will see that at each of these locations, there's probably a reduced level of service to what you're accustomed to. There may be lane reductions, gravel surface where it was once paved, or a speed limit reduction. DOT just asks that you continue to travel those sites with extreme caution and yield to the contractors and their staff that are out there trying to make these repairs timely. The department is utilizing industry resources, engineers, geotechnical experts to assess our sites and offer our repair design criteria. So the repairs that we're doing now are a temporary in fashion so that we can restore service to our infrastructure. But we are at the same time looking at what is going to be needed to make those permanent repairs at locations inside the Mat-Su borough. Given the time of year, road construction is not ideal. So our goal is to make these repairs adequate and do them timely. I have been in the field. I'm a field engineer for the department since Friday morning. And I have to say that I've had a chance to work with a lot of different agencies. I've been interacting with residents at our various repair sites. Our contractors responded immediately. It's a pretty awesome response to a very dynamic situation. It makes me pretty proud to work in this community. I can say that the public has been very patient and very understanding, and well done, Alaska. Again, we may have future or more work out here. We still are assessing our sites daily. I thank you for your continued patience and support at the sites that the department's working on. And we'll continue working with other agencies such as the Mat-Su borough to get the infrastructure back in service as quick as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. I'd like to invite up Dr. Goyette, if she would, and give us a little bit of an update on where we are with our schools.
Good evening. I'm Monica Goyette. I'm your superintendent, and I want to give you an update on what we've been doing in schools since the earthquake occurred. How you can find out when your school is going to be back open for business, and what students can expect when they come back in. But before I do that, we have 19,000 students in our district and over 2,000 employees. And within minutes, we accounted for every single one of them and only had minor injuries. And I cannot thank our staff and our students enough. And of course, all of our emergency planning has played a significant role in that. And our staff and our principals, our leadership did an incredible job. But we could not have accomplished that without the heroics of our students. And so I just want to share one quick story. Out at Reddington High, we had a student in trauma sometimes. Response is people will lose consciousness. They were in the middle of the gymnasium. This individual fell to the floor and was completely unconscious, unresponsive. And a student, in the middle of all the shaking, we have it on video, ran out, grabbed this individual by the arm, pulled them to safety on the side of the gymnasium. The teacher for the gym class was in the locker room at the time, so this was students monitoring all this. When the individual came to consciousness, they were very distraught. They actually needed to be restrained, and this student wrapped both arms around, other students grabbed and consoled them. And this isn't an isolated incident. This happened everywhere. And so to our students, you always amaze me, and I'm so proud of you. So what we've been doing over the weekend is going into all 47 sites. And of course, all of them were not hit at the same. Some sites are ready to go, but there's 18 different areas that we're looking at. Our life and safety supports, fire suppression, HVAC systems, making sure that intercom, lockdown duress buttons are all working. And so we have closed facilities completely. We know people want their personal belongings. We appreciate their patience. It has allowed us to move quickly through those areas. And so on our website, we've created an earthquake website. If you just go to matsuk12.us, there'll be a link to it, or you can just add an backslash earthquake, and then you can see the list of schools. We had 7 schools that were open today. Our Northern Valley schools were not impacted by this. We do want to allow all of our staff a day to come back, clean, prepare, make sure that not only are they attending to the academic needs of our students, but the social-emotional needs. We anticipate that there will be students that have suffered trauma from this. And so we're going to give them a full day to prepare. And many of our schools will be open on Thursday. We have 15 that are a go, and there's 13 more on that list that we're just waiting for one or more of those 18 areas to know that they'll be a go. We're going to be updating that several times a day. It'll be refreshed, so please check back. Please make sure that you hit refresh, otherwise you might see an old version of it. There are 5 schools that we need to gather more information on. Colony High School, Colony Middle School, Finger Lake, Kinnick Elementary, and Houston High School. I am hopeful that within the next 48 hours, we'll have more information for you and that those schools will be available to open next week. But there may be areas that are not available for occupation yet. And what we're trying to do is balance safety and security, making sure that we've checked all our systems, with getting back to our business of education. And so, for example, there may be some schools where the gymnasium is not open yet. We want to go in and make sure that all of the overhanging, we have speakers, we have dividers, wrestling mats hanging from our ceilings. So we need to go in and secure and just really check every single bolt before those sections will be opened up. We have one school that had significant damage, Houston Middle School. And in fact, since the event, aftershocks have continued to deteriorate that facility. We anticipate that we may not be back in that building the remainder of this school year. It is our goal. It's the desire of the community. I talked with Mayor Thompson from Houston area and the principals, Ben Howard and William Johnson. They have a very close bond. They share campus. Houston Middle is 6th, 7th, and 8th. Houston High is 9 through 12. So it's our desire to move portables and be able to just have a 6-12 campus until Houston Middle is ready and open for business. And we do a great job of that. Reddington is an excellent example of a 6-12 system. So what students can expect when they're coming back is even though we may not have boil water notices at every single school, until we have absolute confirmation that water's safe, we're going to have bottled water on site, and we're encouraging families to bring water with them. We are going to be reviewing all of our earthquake drills. Clearly, everybody did a great job, but we know that there'll be aftershocks, and we just want to prepare our students for that. So we're going to be going back through that, allowing kids time to debrief and really talk about their experience and what happened. One thing that we're hearing a lot of concerns about is being able to get personal belongings. And the reason why we have kept facilities closed is so that we can move through them efficiently as possible. Wednesday, the majority of buildings, staff will be back in, and so individuals can just contact the school directly if they need to get in and get them. If there's something like medicine that is an emergency life situation, please reach out to your principal now. They're checking their emails constantly. Houston Middle School, those personal belongings, we won't be able to open that up for community people to go in there. So we would have to look at hiring a moving company and moving out all those personal belongings. That would take us at least a week, but we have to know that the building is safe before we do that. So again, I cannot thank the borough enough. I think that they have done an amazing job. We were in constant communication with them and appreciate all that they did. And we have to just give a shout out to MEA. Julie Estes is here. I cannot believe how quickly they were able to get power back on. And in a crisis, there is no place I would rather be than the Mat-Su, because we know how to rally around each other when we need help. So thank you, and please continue to reach out and let us know what your concerns are.
Good evening. I'm John Moosey, Borough Manager. This morning, we were able to open up full operation, full service to our citizens, with the exception of two things. We had the closure of the Palmer Pool and the Big Lake Library. We had some issues with the structure, so we'll be getting a structural engineer to make sure those are safe to be open. So we had a full activity this weekend, and part of that was inspection of all our facilities. And we did a couple inspections, first starting really in the afternoon on Friday and continued through the weekend. Happy to do that. Today, in fact, this afternoon, we had an inspection at Port McKinsey. As you know, we had recent repair to the dock. We had some divers in inspection, and that a repair and a dock face held consistently, and there is no damage to that. We do, however, have some concerns with the conveyor, and we are going to be contacting and have contacted the owner of the conveyor to address those issues in upcoming days. So really, we're putting this together, and you're going to know how in the heck we're going to pay for this. So the mayor, tomorrow at 2 p.m. right here, we have an emergency meeting with the assembly, and I'll be proposing to start out with a couple fund transfers into emergency funding to get us through this. Also beginning tomorrow, we had our insurance company XL adjuster flown in. He'll be meeting with the school in the morning and us in the afternoon, because we have insurance provided. XL happens to be the insurance carrier for both the school district and the Mat-Su borough, and they were informed immediately of this, and they've been very responsive, which they should be. We're paying them. The other thing we had this afternoon and met is FEMA. As you know, the state and federal government has declared an emergency, which allows FEMA dollars. I believe, and we'll want to remind him often, the president said that no expense is too great for us, so we will remind him of that. But that is really another option we'll be working. And we have some experience from the 2012 flooding to the 2016 Sockeye fire. And Mr. Dolan mentioned a program called Orion, and you saw the map. So we have a new software that we're put these in categories for full information for funding, so we can get response quicker and funds back to us. So Unfortunately, we're having some experience with these disasters, but we're hopeful we're going to be much more successful. You know, it is great living here in the Valley, as it's, you know, been repeated numerous times about how well we work together, and we certainly do. The cities and the borough have been in constant communication throughout this. We're good partners, MEA, MTA, and STAR. We're just fortunate to live out here, and we're fortunate that we didn't get hit as hard as we could have. Everybody I've talked to has been affected by it, but nobody's been devastated or destroyed by that, and so we're very thankful for that.
I didn't see Julie step in, but if Julie, if you'd like to come up and make a couple of comments as well. Julie Estes from MEA. We're all very thankful.
Well, I wish I could take some credit, but really our line crew and our support crew just never ceased to amaze us. They did an amazing job. Their commitment and tenacity is second to none, so we have a lot to be thankful for there. As everyone, we were surprised, but always prepared for such eventuality as our system got hit. Since the building of our power plant, we've really been focusing on the resiliency of our system, and I think that showed, but I really think the true element of our resiliency was our staff. We quickly identified the problem. We primarily, it was our substations. So a substation is where the power is brought from high voltage down to low voltage power to be distributed. And there's something very important in that process called a transformer. And that has some oil contained in it. And when those oils get jostled around, there's some level alarms that go off. And as a precautionary measure, they closed down the system. So we went to each and every substation to make sure that those levels were adequate, to make sure there was no further damage. And then, barring none, we were able to turn on each substation systematically. We were also received information about some transmission line concerns. So as soon as our backbone was put into place, then we were able to see those smaller distribution line outages as well. And again, I can't say enough about how well our staff and our support crews really attacked the problem with tenacity. And I also think what's really important for us is also to thank our members for their patience and their generosity with us. Everybody was very supportive. Great communication, and we just feel very thankful to live in this community and watch our service territory come together. Primarily, our biggest damage was sustained in the Eagle River area with some actual damage to substations that required further repairs. But as of 3:23 on Sunday morning, about 19 hours after the earthquake hit, we were able to restore power to the majority of our members. So we are happy because we know, you know, the heat and the light that we could bring back was important for folks as they recovered from this. That's all I have to say. We're happy to answer questions at the end. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. We also have Lindsay Hobson here from NSTAR. Lindsay, you want to come up and say a few words? We have a very close relationship from the fire perspective with NSTAR, with obviously major concerns that we had during an earthquake. You guys were on it.
Great, thank you. I'm Lindsay Hobson, Communications Manager for NSTAR Natural Gas. We've been working closely with the borough and the state on our response. We have, as of today, we have completed the leak survey of the entire transmission, the high pressure system here in the Mat-Su Valley. And we are working on the large diameter distribution lines as well for the leak survey. That's in progress. The first thing we did after the earthquake, like we always do after a major earthquake, was to reach out to our customers to remind them to look, listen, and smell for signs of a natural gas leak. And that generated a lot of calls. which is what we want it to do. We want people to discover those gas leaks. And I think that in all, we had over 1,000 calls in our system, or 1,000 pending orders in our system throughout the first couple days following the earthquake. As of this morning, we were down to 15, and I believe 12 of them were from here in the valley. And so those have been resolved. And we do continue to get a few calls here and there, but I believe that with our employees working day and night over the past several days, we've been able to resolve almost all of those. We also have additional qualified personnel. Gas utility employees from the lower 48 have arrived and are assisting us in our system-wide leak survey. We have 4,488 miles of pipeline throughout our system, and our system extends from Houston in the north down to Homer in the south, and so that is going to take place over the next several days. Again, I want to echo what everyone has said here, that our employees are the real heroes, working 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. shifts, literally just around the clock. We had one employee who retired on November 9th after 46 years at NSTAR, and he was back on the job on November 30th, helping us look for leaks. And the thing that I heard the most today coming back to work on Monday morning after working a long weekend was from our guys in the field coming in and saying, man, we have the best customers, and just really, really appreciating the patience and the support from our customers. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to invite Mayor Cottle up. Mayor Cottle we didn't get to him in time. Mayor Virgie Thompson, is the mayor still here from Houston? Mayor Cottle had a council meeting tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Virgie Thompson, mayor for the city of Houston. I want to thank the borough for, as we got the kids out of the school and into a different school, my cell phone was ringing and it was like, do you need anything? I'm here, let me know. And it was the borough, and I appreciate that. We did sustain some damage from the earthquake. We're still assessing it. City Hall has some structure damage, Station 91, Station 92, and one road leading to Hawk Lane. We need to have that evaluated as well, being that is the major road to get the kids into the school. Houston Middle School, as the superintendent said, was extremely devastated. And I say extremely devastated because that's where I spent 24 years of my life, 9 months out of the year. And so when I'm putting kids under desks last Friday, it was quite devastating for me as well. I do appreciate the school district trying to keep us together as a community. I think that's very important, that our younger students relate to our older students because they see each other all the time. And so if we can stay together, that's the best thing that I can think of. I'll close by saying that a good friend shared with me that said, students and staff make a school, not a building, and we'll move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. We have Mayor Edna DeVries from Palmer here, if you'd like to say a few words, ma'am.
Thanks, Otto. And I want to thank you, Otto, because I reached out to you a couple of times and you were there, and I just appreciated that. Even though the city of Palmer probably received less damage than any place else in the borough, we are eternally grateful and thankful for that. We have several of our directors here from the city of Palmer, and I personally want to thank them, the police department, the fire department, and the public works, as well as our city manager. They immediately started assessing our public buildings, and we got a good report right away, and so they called in extra people, but as Otto said, by noontime it was pretty well back to normal. but they were there when we needed them, and we're going to thank them very, very much. We appreciate the people in Palmer that didn't have damage, that reached out to the other people throughout the borough, to their families and to their friends, offering help, post after post on Facebook regarding helping people navigate those long gas lines and the long lines at the store. I think our Fred Meyer in Palmer was one of the only grocery stores opened at one time. And so in Palmer, we are just grateful. We had a few library books that came off the shelf and a couple of bricks, I guess, off of a chimney off a Colony Inn, but very, very minor. And so we're very thankful and very appreciative. And we will continue to work with you and with the borough, and because we never know what the next one will be. And thank you.
Mayor Vern Halter, our borough mayor, if you'll come forward, sir.
I always wanted to sit in the back row where the staff was, so it took me a while to get up here. So, hello, everybody. I think on the earthquake from last Friday, you know, it's one of those things that it's one of the most emotional events that could happen to anybody. It's going to happen no matter where you are. And I think you'll remember that date and time for the rest of your lives. And I think that's, you know, we had a cyber attack, big disaster many months ago, but it's kind of like having a hernia. It's just kind of there. It doesn't really mean that much. But, boy, this earthquake is... was really a jolt. And I want to know, I telephoned Mr. Moosey right away, 9 o'clock. By 9 o'clock Friday morning, we talked about a disaster declaration, which we did in writing later on. I want to thank Matthew Beck, the deputy mayor, for driving right in. He's close here signing that declaration for me, because that had been a 72-mile round trip. So, you know, I guess, and I do appreciate Mr. Feather for everything you've did during this process, because, you know, it's tough. And I just want to make sure the world knows, everybody knows, that the Mat-Su Borough, the staff, every division, Public Works, EMS, they were at it right away. And I think we could, you know, it'd have been nice if we'd had a press conference quicker. But when I listen to everything that's been said tonight, I have a great feeling for the Mat-Su Borough and how they handled the emergency. This is not our first one. We had the Sockeye Fire several years ago. So I just want to thank our borough staff, Mr. Moosey and Otto and everybody else that has been working on this. We had a great opportunity today to go out and see the Houston Middle School with Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and they had several FEMA folks with them. And when you walked into that school and you really started looking around and to see the damage, you know, all the block work and all the dust and the trauma. And so you're at 8:30 in the morning, and the lights go out, the shaking starts, it's dust everywhere. And Mayor Thompson was talking about the noise. She was in the building at the time. So just think about the trauma for the students. And so I just want to say thank you to all the teachers for taking care of our kids. Underneath the desk, they had an evacuation program that just, it's beyond belief how they could take care of these kids and save them. So we have about 69,000 students between Anchorage and the Mat-Su Borough. One broken wrist was the total, and that was in Anchorage, of all these students. And Superintendent Goyet was telling me about that today, and that is an amazing thing, isn't it? And so kudos and thank you to our teachers for taking care of our kids under dire circumstances. You know, we've had somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,400 aftershocks coming after the major 7, and so we do have to be vigilant. And I guess in hindsight, you know, probably we should have had this press conference quicker, and we could add other press conferences and updates. And so as you know, Vine Road is a big issue for us. I was glad to hear Terry Dolan's got equipment out there right now. We'll do a patch so that we could get by through the winter, and they'll probably have to take a look at it again next spring. And thank you, Todd Smith, for coming up for DOT. And when I drove by the intersection down here coming to the exchange, they had crews there working on both sides of the road. So I was totally amazed by MEA. You know, our power was back on in Willow about 6:30, and I think it was quicker down in Houston already. I've never figured, then beyond me up in Hatchet Pass, they had power, then there was a little stretch in there where we didn't have power. I've never figured out how you do that, but kudos and thank you for getting the power back on so quick. I have a lot of animals, And just to watch the trauma to like these sled dogs was an amazing thing. And everybody else, my neighbors, have a lot of farm animals, sheep, goats, and things like chickens and things like that. And so this was a very emotional event. And I do appreciate all the work that was done. And hopefully, my brother Billy was up here in 1964, and he called me right away. He was in the big earthquake, too, and he asked me, and I said, well, this is probably nothing like that one, but a 7 certainly will wake you up. And I'll remember where I was. I had a load of firewood standing from my wood stove. I was going to try to, in my underwear, boom, this thing goes off. So, but we're in good shape. We're lucky because we, like Superintendent Goyette, and I think Mayor Thompson said, we had some physical damage, but we are very lucky because we had no deaths and very few injuries. And so we're very, very, very lucky. And so thank you to staff.
Well, thank you all very much for being here, and especially to our media. Thank you for your presence and being able to tell this story. We've got just a few short minutes before we've got to start having people come in here and set up for the next meeting. Important work that's going to be happening here tonight. And if I could, I'd like to have the media, if you want to go out and set up in the lobby. We'll have a number of people here from staff and different agencies who would be happy to take any of your questions out there. But other than that, that's pretty much a wrap to our presser this evening. I just ask you all to remember that we've worked all very hard and very well together to come up with a great plan for how we collaborate and make sure that our infrastructure is cared for. But there's nothing more important than the care that we provide to our friends and neighbors and families, and that's where we need to put our focus going forward. Thank you very much.